The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, John 21, 1-14. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most popular tourist attractions in San Francisco is Fisherman's Wharf. Fisherman's Wharf got its name as a neighborhood in the city's early days, that is, the mid to later 1800s. That was when Italian immigrant fishermen came to the city with the influx of population due to the gold rush and silver bonanzas. One Italian, Achille Palladini, found success wholesaling local fish as owner of the Palladini Fish Company. He came to be known as the Fish King. Most of the Italian immigrant fishermen found homes in the North Beach area close to the wharf. They fished and trapped the local fish and seafood delicacies and the now famous Dungeness crab. Until the present day, Fisherman's Wharf has remained the home base of San Francisco's fishing fleet. Despite its redevelopment into a tourist attraction during the 70s and 80s, the area is still home to many active fishermen and their fleets, which can be seen docked right next to some of the restaurants they serve. Now, it was not by accident that Jesus chose a bunch of fishermen, like the guys that work at Fisherman's Wharf, to become his apostles. At least seven of them were fishermen by trade, and that's over half of his crew. We can conclude this by looking at verses 1 and 2 of our text, which list Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and two unnamed others. They were all fishermen. After the first Easter appearances of Jesus, the apostles had gone back to Galilee from the festival of Passover, and they were following Jesus' instructions in this. Not finding Jesus in the usual places, Peter suggested that they go out fishing. After all, at this point, they probably could have used the money. You know, their treasurer Judas had hanged himself. And when Matthew did an audit of the books, he had found that Judas had spent all of their cash. Time to get some money in the bank. The seven fishermen probably borrowed Zebedee's boats. Zebedee, you may remember, was the father of James and John. It had been a beautiful spring day, not unlike the last couple weeks here, not more than a week after the spring equinox. They put out onto the Sea of Galilee as the sun was setting. The moon was either in a waning gibbous or a last quarter phase. It was the perfect time of month to catch a load of fish at night, and they tried all the best places. But after 12 hours of hard work, they were exhausted, and they had nothing to show for all their work. As my grandpa Erickson, who learned to fish in Solano County as a child, as he would say, they got skunked. Just as the sun was beginning to rise over the eastern hills, Jesus appeared on the shore. It was dawn, so they couldn't tell who the person on the shore was who was calling to them, even though they were only about 100 yards away. Jesus' first words to them was, "Hey, boys." The Greek word there is paideia, from which we get the word pediatrics. The form of address indicates someone who was their senior. They probably thought that he was Zebedee, or one of Zebedee's old friends that was also in the fishing business. The next phrase was, "Don't you have any fish yet?" I worked around fishermen, the sports type, and that's a little bit of a tease. You know, "Don't you have any fish yet? I have some." They knew it. Then he said, "Try the starboard side of the boat." The apostles were too tired to question the advice, and they needed the money. So they cast their nets and immediately found them filled with fish. When they counted the fish on the shore, the catch came up to 153. It's not a round number, it's an exact number. And that was enough to feed all the apostles and to have enough to sell for cash at the fish market that morning. Peter saw the catch in the net, and then he remembered a remarkably similar event in Luke 5, 4-11. On that day, about 3 years earlier, they'd also fished all night and got skunked. Jesus had told them to let down their nets, and Peter then had also done so reluctantly. After a great catch of fish that caused their nets to break, Peter had bowed down before Jesus and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus had replied then, "Do not be afraid. From now on, I will make you fishers of men." And that, 3 years prior, is when Peter, James, and John left their fishing trade to follow Jesus. Now, after this flashback through his memory, Peter shouted out to his friends, "Hey guys, it's the Lord!" And he jumped right into the water. James and John probably said, "Wait, oh, we need help." But he was already gone and swimming to shore. It was, as you might expect, a joyful reunion. Jesus baked some fresh bread, grilled some fish, and they all ate it together. Well, you know, this is part of the local repast that we have here. It was not unlike a little bit of grilled petrolli sole with Berdine's sourdough, and being a Mediterranean climate, maybe a bit of wine in a jug or a leather bottle, a very good meal. They watched all those fish flop around on the shore, chased away the seagulls and pelicans, and enjoyed the warming air as the sun came up. A great breakfast. A bit later in the verses that follow our sermon text, Jesus walked with Peter along the shore as the rest of the apostles cleaned the catch of fish. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Peter said that he did, and Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." 3 times he said, "Feed my sheep." In that spring morning by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus renewed and reaffirmed his call to the apostles. By repeating the miracle of the fish, Jesus reminded them of his first call to them when he had said, "I will make you fishers of men." This was their task as evangelists or missionaries for the church. By repeating, "Feed my sheep," 3 times, he was reminding Peter and all the apostles of the task that he had assigned them. This was their task as pastors of the church. Today, the church still fishes for the souls of men, women, and children, and still feeds Jesus' sheep. Congregations fish for the souls of men by calling missionaries to serve overseas. They may also start new churches here in the United States. You can see current examples of overseas missionaries by looking at the missionary prayer cards that we have on the tables out here in the hallway. Those prayer cards help you support the missionaries with your private donations, if that's what you would like to do. On that table, you will see Pastor Michael Schempf and his wife, Pastor Roy Askins and his wife and family, the Reverend Dr. Michael Paul with his wife and family, and Mr. John Wolfe with his wife and large family. You can also see other missionaries on the bulletin board in our parish hall, and that includes Pastor Dennis Meeker with his wife, Pastor Charles Froh and Jan, whom you all know. And by the way, he is going back. I just talked to him recently. He is going back. I'm not sure when, but it's coming up soon. So if you're interested in supporting his work, please contact him. And also there, Pastor Frank Balgeman, who we support in his evangelistic work in Colorado Springs. These are pastors whom we have supported as a congregation with our offerings. That is, the ones that are on the bulletin board. Congregations also fulfilled the command to feed Jesus' sheep by calling pastors. Through preaching and teaching the Word of God, administering the sacraments, forgiving sins, exercising church discipline with the office of the keys, conducting worship, visiting the seriously ill and disabled, and caring for the poor. Our Savior Lutheran Church Pacifica right now is in the process of calling a new pastor to replace the work of Pastor Dan Kistler, who faithfully worked there for many years. The next step, the next phase, continuing to feed my sheep. What about you? Individual Christian believers also fish for the souls of men. They do this with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life through Jesus Christ. It's not just the duty of the pastor of the congregation, but also the joyous privilege and duty of every Christian, both young and old. Anybody who is old enough to put a worm on a fish hook, to cast it into the water, and to pull out a fish is old enough and competent enough to fish for the souls of men. Now, this doesn't take any great talent. All you need to do is tell people about the eternal salvation that Jesus has accomplished through his suffering and death on the cross and his resurrection, and then invite them to church with you. Just like fishing, you can't expect to catch a fish every time that you cast out your bait. But if you keep at it long enough and are patient, you too can become a fisher of the souls of men. And if it's like my type of fishing, I usually catch fish when I didn't expect to catch anything at all. The Christian church will keep fishing for the souls of men, women, and children until Jesus returns. That is our calling and our duty as part of the priesthood of all believers and as members of Jesus' church. In his name, amen.